waited for this day. We've gathered in your name, calling out to you. Your glory like a fire, awakening desire, will burn our hearts with truth. You're the reason we're here. You're the reason we're singing.
Open up the heavens, we want to see.
Thank you. Fantastic job, choir. Fantastic. We come to this time in our service where we pause to offer up prayers for specific people, for groups within our church, for groups outside our church, for nations, for governments, for missions. And I want to pause briefly beforehand to point out that this time last week, Joseph was in the hospital. And I identify with a lot of what he was feeling while he was there. The doctors couldn't figure out exactly what was wrong, so they didn't want to let him go. When I was in the hospital out in El Paso, one of my nurses made the mistake of coming in and saying, "How is our patient today?" And I told that young man that I was not a patient, I was a hostage, because they wouldn't let me go. Joseph, we are all praying for your continued recovery and asking the Lord to heal you. He knows what's wrong, even if the doctors are still clueless. That's why they call it practicing medicine. So we have on our prayer list today, we have quite a few people. Does anybody have an update on how Dennis Pruitt is doing? Honey? No? Okay. How about Diane and Earl? Earl's a fighter, in case y'all didn't know that. There's not much in the world that he's afraid of, I don't think. He's a fighter. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for this day. We thank you for the love and grace that you pour down on us. We're so undeserving of the sweet, comforting hand that you place on our shoulders to reassure us when the road gets tough. Father, we have many friends and neighbors and members that we're praying for. And Father, we ask that you would be with each one of them in a special way, that they would feel your presence and your love and in their lives as only you can show it. And Father, as we go into this time, I pray that you will strengthen us, Father, to the mission that you have before us, that you will give us the breath in our lungs and the strength in our arms and the speed in our feet to go where you send us and to be who you've called us to be. And Father, in this time, we ask that you would make us mindful of our mission every single minute of every single day, that you would help us to be truly examples of you, the salt and light that you've called us to be. And Father, in this time, I ask that you would help us to internalize the words as we pray, just as you've taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our scripture today is Romans 8:28, and a lot of you are going to say, "Oh, I know that verse." And you're going to hear it in a little different context today. And I will tell you that probably some of you are not going to like the way that I explain it. Romans 8:28 is possibly one of the most misunderstood verses that we see all the time. And to establish a little bit about why I'm bringing this message, I'd like for you to know that whenever I'm asked to speak, I don't go Google what should I preach on this Sunday. These messages are they're given to me. I've never preached a single message that wasn't given to me before I was to give the message. And I had the content of this message 2 weeks before I was asked to give it. So this is not from me. This is not something that I looked up. And it's not because I think you need to hear it. This is the message that was given to me. Sometimes that creates a problem for me. The first time that I was given a really strong message to give, I felt convicted by the Lord to go to a church full of people I didn't know in a sect of Christianity that I didn't know, and speak to the people I didn't know and give them a message from God. And I said, they'll think I'm crazy. They'll think I'm a lunatic, or they'll laugh. And I said, no, I'm not going to do it. And immediately, I was crushed. I was crushed. And I felt the weight of my disobedience pushing me down and squeezing me. And I was hurt so deeply inside. And 6 months later, God came back to me and he gave me that same message. He said, go to these people and give this message. And I immediately remembered how I felt before when I said no. And I said, yes, I will do it. How do I do it? And so he led me through the process. And one Sunday morning, I drove over to the church. I pulled up in the parking lot, and I got out of my truck, and I went in, and one of the ushers greeted me and said, I'm so sorry, you're too late. The services are over. Everybody is leaving. I said, yes, I know. This was the time I was supposed to arrive. And he said, what can we help you with? And I said, I have a message for your church. And he said, well, go ahead and give it to me and I'll tell them. I said, no, that's not the way this works. And so they were receptive. They felt that God was leading them to listen as he was leading me to speak. And so I delivered my message and I walked out. And I got in my truck and I left, and I didn't look back. But having delivered the message that God told me to deliver, I felt peace and I felt serenity. And I was so thankful that I hadn't been disobedient again. So this message about the blessings of God, Romans 8:28, it says, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. And that's pretty, I mean, that sounds so easy, right? But the problem is we know that all things work together for good for those who love God. Simple, right? Simple. Who are called according to his purpose. That's the part we like to gloss over. What does it mean to be called according to his purpose? Well, our entire message, the songs we sing, the verses that we read, the lives that we live, the Sunday school lessons that we study, the sermons that we hear are about being called according to his purpose. Because the Bible is very clear. In the Greek words for called implies a response. So when you think about it, think about a telephone call. It's not a telephone call until you answer, right? And that's why, you know, telemarketers have to dial 20 numbers before they get through to somebody, because I look at that and I go, oh, no, I'm not answering that. So being called according to his purpose is throughout the Bible, through every story of his Bible, through David when he was out tending the sheep and God called him and he said, okay, I'll go. When he called Moses and Moses said, not me. God said, yes, you, Moses. And finally, Moses said, okay. He was called, and he answered. In the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 58 says, is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free? Isaiah was talking about the call that God has placed on our lives and how we are asked to answer. We're asked to respond. So then we say, well, how do we respond? We respond in one of two ways. We respond in obedience, or we respond in disobedience. And the story that I gave earlier, that was a true story as part of my testimony, and I'm ashamed to stand here before you and tell you that when God called me to go do something specific, I said no, because I was worried about how I would look, and I was worried about what they would think of me. I'm ashamed to tell you that. But being called implies that we become more like the caller. It implies that we go do his business. And we do that for one of three reasons. The first one is, we find in 1 John 4:9, it says, we love, which is we're called to love. We love because, why? Because he first loved us. That's the first reason that we answer the call. We answer the call to love others. We answer the call to love people who are not lovely or lovable. We call to help the helpless. We are called to visit the prisoner. We're called to reach out to the sick. And the reason we're asked to be people of love is because he first loved us. What path does God ask us to go down that he doesn't go first? He blazes the trail. He leaves the footprints, and all we have to do is follow along. Follow along. The second reason that we should be following, we find in Psalms chapter 40, verse 8, it says, I will delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. The second reason that we follow in his footsteps, the second reason we answer the call, is because it's obedience. It's obedience. It's simple obedience. How many of you have kids? One or two? Not just me? So how many of you ever uttered this phrase when they said, why? Because I told you to. I hope y'all have better luck with it than I ever had. Because then that would usually take us into a two-hour conversation about why. And that because I told you to never seemed to get me anywhere. But kids. So according to Psalms, we respond in obedience to God's call because that is what we are required to do. What happens to the disobedient? You look through the Bible, what happens to the disobedient? Sometimes they're dealt with very harshly. Sometimes they just go their own way, right? And we never get to see the results of their disobedience. We never get to see that. Just like sometimes when we respond in obedience and we plant the seed or we water, we never get to see the result of the gospel come to fruition in someone's life. That's not our place. When God calls us to plant, we plant. When God calls us to water, we water. And when we are so fortunate that God calls us to harvest and we get to see the results of all of the prayers and all of the work and all of the letters and the emails and everything else. And we get to be the ones to be there to say, let's pray together. And you pray the sinner's prayer with them, and then when they open their eyes, you look into their eyes and they are a new creature, and they have a peace and they have a purpose and they have a reason to go forward that they have never experienced in their life. Isn't that right, Jeff? See? I've had the privilege of serving with Jeff in prison ministry. And you talk about at the end of your rope. When you're in a maximum security prison and you're locked in a 6x10 cell 23 hours a day, and they let you out 1 hour to exercise, shower, and then you're back in there, that's the end of your rope. And when you talk to those people and you ask them, if you were to die today, would you go to heaven? No? Well, you want to? So the first reason that we are obedient is because God first loved us. The second reason that we're obedient is because we're required to be. Because it's just a matter of simple following what we're supposed to do. The third reason, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 through 25, and I want you to listen to this very carefully. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. I heard a survey result earlier this week that 60% of the people on the face of the earth, more than ever before, 60% of the people on the face of the earth believe that the end of the world will come during our lifetime. Is that true? I don't know. I don't care when it is. But we have less time than we had 5 minutes ago. We have less time than we had a year ago. We have less time than we had 10 years ago. We are on a one-way course to meet the destiny of this world, and we're going to meet our own personal destiny when we stand before God and give an account for our actions. And when that comes, I'm going to have a lot to be sad about. But I want him to still say, come on in. You tried. You lived some of the time like I asked you to. You did some of the things that I asked you to. Most of all, you believed, put your whole faith in my son. So the third reason is because time is short. How short is it? For some, today is the last day. How many people are going to go on to their reward this week? How many people are going to meet their end in 2019? I don't know. God knows. But between now and then, whenever it is that he calls me home, I only have two requests, you know, because I've told a lot of people, I've told my doctors before, I'm not afraid to die. And it's made some of them look at me kind of funny, and they start asking me questions like, do you ever think about, I'm like, no, I'm not afraid of it. I'm not trying to rush it. But I'm not afraid of it. I'm not afraid to die. I only have two requests. Number one, I want to be faithful until that day comes. And number two, I don't want it to hurt. That's just me. So whenever that day comes and we walk through that door and we stand before him and he says, why should I let you in? I want to be able to say, God, I was faithful. Not all the time, but I was faithful as much as I could. I tried. I wanted to be better. I wanted to be more like your son. And until that day, I'm going to try to be more and more and more like the one who's called me. So when we want to claim the promise, all things work together for good for those who love God. The way that we claim that promise is when he calls, we answer. How do we answer? When he says, I want you to go here. I want you to see that person and encourage them. I want you to visit this person. I want you to go witness to that person. I want you to give so that others can go. I want you to support a ministry or a person in prayer. I want you to pray for the sick. I want you to visit the prisoner. I want you to clothe the naked. I want you to house the homeless. I don't know what he's calling you to do. I know what he's calling me to do. And I try to be faithful with that. I try to be faithful a little more every day. How do you claim the promise? You claim the promise by answering the call. Answering the call. And so, we go before God and we say, Father, thank you for calling me. Thank you for extending the offer to me to join you in your ministry. And Father, I pray for strength. I pray that you will help me to have dedication. That you will help me to have sight to see the path clearly. And that you will give me the push to walk in your steps, to be your son's little imitator, so that we can be ambassadors to a lost and dying world. Pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I believe our ushers will come forward. Ushers, musicians. Do we have any jugglers or fire eaters? Let's pray. Father, when you call us, sometimes we're not listening. Sometimes we completely miss it. Don't give up on us. And Father, when you call and we hear and we know what we're supposed to do, sometimes we don't. Don't give up on us. Keep working in our lives. Father, for the times that you call and we answer, we pray that we'll be obedient in our giving. We pray that we'll be obedient in our being for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name. are so blessed to have so much talent. Eric, Carol, Conways, and even Bob. Bob, you know that I love you, and I wouldn't kid you if I didn't. So during this time of the service, we open up an invitation. If you'd like to know more about the church,